Hi, so my name is Toby Langel. I run a small consulting firm based in Geneva, Switzerland, and I have kind of straddled throughout my career open source and standards, so people thought it was a good idea to bring me in to talk about this. This lightning talk is called 40 New Ways the CRA Can Accidentally Harm Open Source, and that of course references the 40 plus standards that are the harmonized standards that are going to be written in the next couple of years to essentially make it possible to implement the CRA. So the first thing I want to say is the CRA has landed, right? It could have been really, really bad. A lot of us were really, really concerned. And it turns out that it isn't, right? Frankly, first thing is the open source community rose to the occasion. And I think that's really amazing, and it was beautiful to see. And like a lot of people put a lot of work in. And I think we should all be very thankful for the work that they have put into helping this. And then also, policymakers actually paid attention, listened, and considered the input from the community. And also for this, I think we ought to be really thankful. Thank you for both sides for making this happen. In the process, we avoided harming open source pretty seriously, and we also avoided harming the EU's ability to leverage open source, which was another one of the potential risks of the original versions of the CRA. So we do now have a lot more clarity. There's an asterisk there because lots of people still have lots of questions, myself included. My key takeaways from the last version of the CRA is that the responsibility falls in the right place, i.e. was the people monetizing open source, the companies monetizing open source. So for me, that was like, this is really important, and it's great that this is kind of spelled out really clearly in the last version. And then the other thing that I thought was really interesting is the open source stewards, this new notion of open source stewards, which really institutionalizes the foundations that have been playing an important role in our space, and is also, I believe, a really smart instrument for the EU's ambition around sovereign tech. That said, it's going to have industry and ecosystem-wide impact. I think companies will be a lot more cautious. I will certainly advise my clients to be more cautious. And a lot of projects will move to foundations, and I think they will do so earlier. And then the conformance requirements, they're going to climb up the dependency tree. I'm suspecting pretty quickly most of the ecosystem will actually be subject to some parts of the CRA, probably the lighter version that is for open source stewards. And I do have a question that was this is going to create a lot of financial and work overhead, and I'm still kind of wondering who's going to be paying for this. So I think this is a question that like will need to be dug into a little more in the future. To meet the CRA, there are essentially going to be two options. Either you demonstrate conformity by yourself, so the burden of proof is on you, or you will essentially follow a set of standards, the harmonized standards, and this is going to provide presumption of conformity. So de facto, the standards are going to be how the CRA impacts open source, because that's what everyone's going to do. Essentially, follow the standards so that they can be presumed to be conformant. And so 40 plus standards, that's 40 plus way things can go wrong. If you believe that the standardization process is less opaque, easier, more open source community friendly than the policy making, I have bad news for you. Essentially, the same kind of misunderstanding, the same kind of risk that has carried through the CRA is probably going to carry through 40 different standards. And actually sitting in 40 different rooms to make sure that 40 different standards don't harm open source in weird and unexpected way is a lot of work. I mentioned the opaque standardization processes. Also, open source has special requirements. Things have to happen in the open. They cannot be patents around the standards, and not every organization functions in open source friendly way, to put it mildly, when it comes to how they deliver the standards and how non-encumbered by patents these standards are. So that's also something that will be incredibly important to make sure that the open source community can actually have access to those standards and be able to implement them. Then the two last points is there's a huge diversity of open source stakeholders, a lot of which were very poorly represented in the CRA, even though the open source community was there. So there were the stewards, obviously, and they were very much involved. Hobbyists, it's very hard to actually represent hobbyists, right? Small commercial open source startups that are going to be incredibly impacted, including in the EU, because they will be considered manufacturers, rightfully so. Probably don't have the resources or the know-how to be involved in the process. And the last point is interop with other jurisdictions. One of the huge strengths of open source is the fact that licensing is essentially standardized worldwide, and like the MIT means the same thing here and there, roughly sufficiently that it's like, okay. And if we start having security standards that are different across different jurisdictions, it's going to be a huge burden on open source maintainers and open source developers. And we want to make sure that if you comply to whatever the EU comes up with in terms of standards, it's fairly similar to what NIST is coming up in the US, et cetera, et cetera. And that's it. Thank you very much. Thank you.